apologize in advance for the very low quality of this projector. Yeah, you can see that. Almost every talk that you will hear will be about some commodity or some trial or some limited time. And it's about a product or some crop or some particular situation. What we're going to talk about today is a summary of the effects of over 30 years of hundreds of trials and over 100 outreach activities. And the drivers and barriers, we're talking about why would growers voluntarily adopt practices that help protect water quality. There's lots of areas in the country where this has not happened. So in our particular area, we have the basin of the Malheur River and the Owyhee River that come into low-level irrigated plains, and there's been lots of negative consequences of surface irrigation, contamination of groundwater with nitrate, pesticides, surface water contamination, inefficient water use. And over the last 30 years, we've had initiatives on about 20 different subjects related to developing drip irrigation for onion that's been utilized now all over the country where we have much greater inputs, soil moisture monitoring, use of polyacrylamide since 1986. It was discovered in 92 by people at Kimberly, Idaho. And so these whole array of different kinds of activities relating to irrigation, fertilization, tillage, pest management, and then how the different aspects of conservation practices that have been tested and try to provide appropriate technology and deliver that to the growers in our region. So a very tight loop between what growers think their problems are and how what the outcomes are and how those are then retested or change the tests. So in background, what we have is water quality, nutrient use, and water use efficiency have been improving. Nitrate has gone on an average from about 19 to about 10 parts per million in the groundwater, the most critically area. DCPA residues have gone from about 600 to around 20 parts per billion in the most affected areas. And yet, much of the public perceives that agriculture is conservative, almost unchanging. And yet, we've seen that the growers have adopted sweeping changes in a non-uniform manner on many, many areas. So what is it that drives growers to adopt things that improve water quality? It's really happening. So what is it that growers, what are the nature of practices that cause people to change? So we really did research based on, with this background of more than three decades of work, what is it that is causing the change in grower behavior? So we wanted to find out what growers had changed and what were the reasons or drivers for those changes, what were the barriers, try to make recommendations for other people in other areas so they could also accomplish the same kinds of things that we have done. So we looked through the literature and reason change and build up then we had a data collection So we have these different geographical areas in our watershed, and then out of over 400 growers, randomly selected a group within each of the sections of the watershed, and of those, half of them were selected because they had land that was very flat, and half of them had land that was rolling, because there's different, entirely different methodologies that growers would possibly adopt given those circumstances. And then, so the growers were interviewed about all their practices, and then those practices were coded and evaluated. And the average size of the farms on the survey were very similar to the average sizes in the area of the respondents. The age distribution was also very similar to actual growers. And this table makes a summary of that. The respondents were very similar to the census and average size of operation. Actually, there's larger operations or cattle operations that skew the data. So what do we find? Well, out of about 20 different types of practices, growers had changed on average quite a few, and 18 of 29 had adopted soil tests that weren't using it before, clear down to use of compost, only two of the 29. Well, why did the growers adopt these various changes in their practices? And it turned out that the most powerful, and it should be relatively obvious, is financial gain. So that that's really has a tremendous impact in trying to influence a researcher. Researcher, if you're going to look for financial gain, you're going to have to find ways that inputs can be used more efficiently and costs can be reduced. Conservation, soil, water savings, nutrient savings, 86% of the growers adopted for that. Most of them were, it was really important farm compatibility and ease of use. One of the important factors is something that they could readily observe, things that they could see. And we'll get to that in just a minute. And yet water quality was very low. And then barriers, well, most of the barriers are sort of the opposite of the drivers. So financial loss, incompatible with their particular farm, which you can understand since they're different topography, what would be useful in one topographical situation might not be. And the last couple things on here, age and lack of agency, the growers claimed that they didn't adopt things because they were older, but the data didn't really support that very much. A bunch of people that were quite old were changing the way they were doing things. Lack of agency was a belief that there's nothing that they could really do to change water quality. So here's the factors influencing adoption. And of those, you can see that four of them are positive drivers and two of them are negative. Certainly, practicality and profitability are important. So here's a quote from one of the interviews. You know, I've always said that farmers said that the farmer's land and the land takes care of you, so you take care of it. Observability. Here's a quote. A lot of people are going that way, though. We might have to too if it comes to that way. If it looks like my neighbors are doing better with drip, then I better. So what are the really most often cited sources for each practice that each grower is adopting? Well, neighbors is very important. And a university research and extension, right at the top. And then observation of other farmers in other regions. Fieldmen and written publications. So these first five columns really greatly involve the research and outreach mission, because if you manage to get your work delivered all the time in written manners, you get your field people, you get growers visiting the station, you get growers adopting things, then people copy what their neighbors are doing. And so we have a great deal of penetration of the research and extension mission into growers' fields. So the things that drove adoption: relative advantage, compatibility, not too much complexity, and observability. Age and lack of agency emerged as barriers. The recommendations for research: creatively imagine practice options that could profitably increase the efficient use of inputs. Imagine practice options that will reduce off-site losses of water, nutrients, and pesticides. Rigorously test and adapt practices in field trials so that they are viable options for growers. And outreach has to emphasize practicality and profitability, has to make sure that the practices are observable. So field trials with growers, field trials, demonstrations on the station. And there's a really emphasis on who you trust for sources of information. The survey showed that the growers trusted their neighbors, they trusted Oregon State University Research and Extension, they trusted other growers in other areas. So for policymakers, I'll just emphasize this first point: strong funding and support for applied research. So I want to thank you all for being here. We've had many, many sources of support over the years. If there are any questions. The question is whether there's any variation with the level of education. We did not rigorously test that. Most growers in our area have bachelor's degrees or master's degrees. But I think that our growers are really integrated with other, with university programs. And we have 4 to 5 field days and a year on different topics, and then workshops, irrigation workshops. Thank you. Thank you very much.